Amateur Radio Today for Sunday, the 26th of July, 2026, in 5, 4, 3. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be listening in the world. This is Amateur Radio Today, a weekly program about amateur radio and shortwave listening, produced and presented by the South African Radio League, the national body for amateur radio in South Africa. Amateur Radio Today is first presented on a Sunday morning at 8 hours UTC, 10 hours Central African Time, on many various frequencies. HF, it can be heard on 7115 kHz coming from the Kimberley area. There are many repeaters countrywide that retransmit the program. I'm your host, Hans van der Groenendaal, ZSX Alpha Kilo Vector, and I live in the capital city of Pretoria. We start our program today with the SRL News, and for that we cross to Cape Town, where Dave Rees, ZS1 DFR, is standing by. But first, the news headlines.
In the news today, the ZS1 QSO party this afternoon. The AMSAT SA Space Symposium keynote will be delivered by a WRC expert, and the Hamnet Western Cape Mesh Core Tech Talk. Stay tuned for more information on these and other interesting news items. The ZS1 QSO party this afternoon. This afternoon from 16 hours to 17 hours UTC, you can participate in the ZS1 QSO party. Everybody works the Western Cape only with CW and phone activity on 40 meters. The exchange is an RS or an RST report and your provincial or country abbreviation. Submit your log sheet by 21 hours 59 UTC on Sunday the 9th of August, please, to ZS1CT, that's Charlie Tango, at ctarc.org.za. A brief update on South Africa's Pico balloons. ZS6SRC-37 on channel 104 on 10 metres, after completing two circumnavigations of the Earth, is presently in the Pacific Ocean near South America. It has been aloft for 29 days and has travelled 100,735 kilometres. ZS6SRC-84 on channel 465 on 20 meters, after 12 days and 28,333 kilometers, is in the mid-Atlantic Ocean after spending many days over Brazil, South America, and just taking its time. ZS6SRC-85 on channel 532 on 20 meters, after traveling only 5,040 kilometers, was last heard from 6 days ago, having just arrived over Australia. ZX6 Zulu Uniform 11 on channel 424 on 20 metres after travelling 13,880 kilometres was last heard from 4 days ago in the mid-Pacific Ocean heading towards South America. It's almost time for Leaker, Feeder and Other True Stories. This is a reminder to invite a friend and join the Power Hour Tech Talk this coming Wednesday evening at 19 hours Central African Time, where our special guest and communications guru Henry, ZS6 India India X-Ray, will be taking us on a deep and dark communications journey. Grab your hard hats, put on your boots, and take along your handy talkie as we search for the light at the end of the tunnel. This Power Hour Tech Talk will follow the evolution of underground communications and provide you with so many interesting facts that you will be the hero at your next braai. Not only will you learn about leaky feeders, but Henry is going to throw in DMR and Wi-Fi at no extra cost. What an awesome trip this is going to be. Your place is reserved, so please ensure that you are appropriately attired and logged on to Zoom or an interconnected repeater by 19 hours Central African Time this coming Wednesday evening, the 29th of July. To gain access to this unique experience, you will need the following credentials. The meeting ID is 853 0134 3276. I repeat, 853 0134 3276, and the passcode is 304951. I repeat, 304951. We have limited space in the lift, but can still manage to accommodate a few more adventurers on our journey into the depths. Go ahead and spread the word. Now, the AMSAT SA Space Symposium keynote will be delivered by a World Radio Conference expert. At WRC 27, much attention will focus on science communication with respect to communication on and around the Moon and support structures on Earth. At the AMSAT SA 2026 Space Symposium on Saturday the 1st of August, Lyndon Petzer will deliver the keynote address. Lyndon is the founder and owner of Lyndon Petzer Consulting, which is an independent consultancy specializing in spectrum management and ICT regulatory affairs. Register now for the symposium, which will be held virtually on the AMSAT SA WebEx platform on Saturday the 1st of August 2026. Registration is free for members of IARU and AMSAT member societies. For non-members, there is a small registration fee. The keynote presentation will be presented by Gwyn Griffiths, who is Golf Whiskey 3 Zulu India Lima, a member of the HAMSAI community. His paper is entitled The HAMSAI Personal Space Weather Station, Development, Deployment and Data. The HAMSAI Personal Space Weather Station is a modular system. After a brief introduction to the technical aspects of each component and their development, the talk will show examples of current deployments at home and remote stations and how to access PSWS data and learn what it shows about space weather rounds off the presentation. There is also a newcomer on the South African satellite scene who is planning to launch a CubeSat later this or early next year. Find out more at the symposium. Christo Krik, who's ZR 6 Kilo Juliet Lima, will share new development on the BACAR project that the Secunda Amateur Radio Club will launch on the 17th of October this year. Burns Fisher, Whiskey Bravo India Foxtrot, who is AMSAT engineer for flight software, will discuss AMSAT progress on three different satellites to be launched in the next few years. Stuart, ZR1 Whiskey Tango, will present a paper describing typical amateur radio pico balloons capable of completing multiple circumnavigations of the Earth while operating at near space altitudes and transmitting a variety of telemetry data. Furthermore, by using the WSPR, which is Weak Signal Propagation Reporter protocol, originally developed by Joe Taylor, virtually any form of telemetry can be transmitted without modification to the protocol itself. So visit http://www.amsatsa.org.za for details on the other presentations as well as the registration link. You are listening to a news bulletin of the South African Radio League. Now, club news. You are invited to join the Pretoria Amateur Radio Club for their next flea market and boot sale on Saturday the 1st of August 2026 at their new clubhouse at 16 Catherine Street, Shear, Pretoria East. Come and enjoy socialising with fellow amateurs and friends. Other amateur radio clubs are also welcome to come and sell amateur-related equipment and to market their clubs. Bring the whole family. There are padel courts, a restaurant with a special ham menu, and playgrounds for the grandchildren. Starting time is 9 hours for sellers and 10 hours for buyers. To book a stand and table, contact Almaro Dupasani, who's ZS6 Lima Delta Papa, on 083-938-8955. That number again, 083-938-8955, or you can send an email to Almaro DPS, that's Almaro Delta Papa Sierra, at gmail.com, and we'll see you on Saturday the 1st of August at our flea market and boot sale in Pretoria. The East Rand Amateur Radio Club is involved in the second African Scout Moot from the 1st to the 8th of August at Arrow Park in Benoni. On Sunday the 2nd and Monday the 3rd of August, they will use the call sign ZS9 Yota to be amateur radio for the Scouts of various country. Listen out and contact ZS9 Yankee Oscar Tango Alpha. And the annual general meeting of the Centurion Amateur Radio Club will take place at 11 hours Central African time on Saturday the 8th of August 2026 at a venue in Centurion. Now the SARL Hamnet Western Cape Mesh Core Tech Talk. Jan ZS1 Lima Alpha Mike reports that following an extensive talk on mesh core delivered by Dani ZS1 Oscar Sierra Sierra at the recent Boerland Amateur Radio Club members meeting on Saturday the 20th of June in Stellenbosch, an interest in the subject of off-grid mesh communication was sparked amongst radio amateurs and non-amateurs, members of the public alike. What made this talk remarkable is the fact that differences between different mesh applications, e.g. MeshTastic and MeshCore, were discussed and compared for the individuals to determine which application would work best in whichever scenario. Michael, ZS1 Mike Juliet Tango, also attended the meeting but had to leave early to install the Ham1 MeshCore repeater at the Havoquad repeater site. And when the MeshCore talk concluded, attendees, armed with their companion nodes, could see the Ham1 MeshCore repeater go online for the very first time. Now, due to the massive interest in off-grid communications in the Western Cape and the exponential growth in the MeshCore mesh, SARL Hamnet Western Cape decided to present a similar presentation online. This event took place on Thursday, the 23rd of July at 19:30 on the Teams platform. 96 registrations were received, ranging from mostly ZS1 stations and a fair representation of the remaining ZS divisions. 25% of registrants were non-amateur individuals that showed interest in mesh-related communication and MeshCore. In passing, remember, MeshCore can be run on non-amateur frequencies. 68 registrants slotted in, and the tech talk was well received, and good reviews were given through various avenues of social media afterwards. This event was recorded and is now available to view at the URL https://links.gadgeteer.co.za/meshcoretalk, all one word. That's https://links.gadgeteer.co.za/meshcoretalk, all one word. Now, the new ARRL 10-band DXCC award. The ARRL has introduced the new 10-band DXCC award plaque, recognizing radio amateurs who have achieved DXCC on all 10 HF amateur bands from 160 to 6 meters. The new award celebrates the accomplishment of having confirmed at least 100 DXCC entities on each of the following bands: 160, 80, 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, 10, and 6 meters, but excluding, please note, the 60 meter band. Eligibility is based on the total of QSLs reflected in your ARRL Logbook of the World account, that's LOTW. No additional contacts are required beyond those needed to qualify for DXCC on each individual band. And if your DXCC credits are not already visible on LOTW, you must first link your DXCC and LOTW profiles by requesting a credit merge from the ARRL Awards desk. Now, the SARL HF Phone, Digital and CW contests. The SARL's premier contest, the August HF Phone, Digital and CW contests, are almost upon us. The aim of the three SARL HF contests is for participants to contact as many amateurs in Southern Africa as possible on the 20, 40 and 80 meter bands. There are several trophies to be won for the three contests. The SARL HF Phone contest starts off the month of August and runs from 14 to 17 hours UTC on Sunday, the 2nd of August. You can participate there as a single operator, single radio, single band station, or you can be a single operator, single radio, all band station, a multi-operator, single band station, or a multi-operator, all band station, with a YL or overlay for each category. Individual competitors and club stations are encouraged to compete. The exchange is a realistic RS report and a consecutive serial number starting from 001. Each QSO counts as 1 point, each area worked per band counts 2 points, and each station worked on all three bands counts 2 points. For the HF phone contest, there are three trophies. For the all-band station, who achieves the highest score, for the single-band station who achieves the highest score, and for the new radio amateur who wrote October 2025 and May 2026 RAEs, who achieves the highest score. Remember, there are trophies for the young lady and the young radio amateur who achieve the highest scores in all three contests. Now, a propagation report. Hannes Kutsier, ZS6 Bravo Zulu Papa, reports that the solar activity is expected to be at low to moderate levels during the week. There are currently six sunspot regions with simple to complex magnetic configurations visible. There is a high probability for C and a moderate probability for M-class solar flares. If you want to do your own frequency predictions, the expected effective sunspot number for the week will be around 99. The 30 to 15 meter bands may provide some good DX fun, especially in the late afternoons. Please visit the website spaceweather.sansa.org.za for further information. And finally, a diary of some upcoming events. Today, the Islands on the Air competition and the ZS1 QSO party. The 28th and the 29th of July, the Delta Aquarids meteor shower. The 1st of August, the AMSAT SA Space Symposium and the ZS6 Papa Tango Alpha flea market. The 2nd of August, the SARL HF phone competition. The 2nd and 3rd of August, the ZS9 Yota station from the Africa Rover Moot. The 9th of August, the SARL YL QSO party, the SARL HF digital competition, and Women's Day. The 10th of August, a public holiday. The 12th and 13th of August, the Perseids meteor shower. The 15th and the 16th of August, the Lighthouse Weekend, the SARL Youth QSO Party, and the North American SSB QSO Party. And the 19th of August is the SARL Wednesday 80-meter Club Competition. And to conclude our bulletin, a recap of the main news story. This afternoon, from 16 hours to 17 hours UTC, you can participate in the ZS1 QSO Party. Everybody works the Western Cape, but only with CW and phone activity, please, on 40 metres. The exchange is an RS or an RST report and your provincial or country abbreviation. Submit your log sheet by 21 hours 59 UTC on Sunday the 9th of August 2026 to zs1charlietango@ctarc.org.za. And this concludes our bulletin for this morning. Clubs and individuals are invited to submit news items of interest to radio amateurs and shortwave listeners in both English and Afrikaans where possible by uploading the news item at https://mysarl.org.za/news-inbox/. Or by sending items to news@sarl.org.za, but no later than Friday morning preceding the bulletin date. The weekly radio program Amateur Radio Today can be heard every Sunday morning at 10 hours Central African Time. The program can be heard on VHF and UHF repeaters countrywide and is relayed on 7115 kHz lower sideband by Louis ZR4 Delta Juliet Lima. In Cape Town, there's a broadcast which can be heard at 10 hours 30 Central African Time on the 145700 MHz repeater with an Echolink relay to ZS1 Delta Charlie Charlie Hyphen Romeo done by me, ZS1 Delta Fox Romeo. And in Bloemfontein, listeners can tune in on the 145.7625 MHz repeater at 8 hours 15 and 8 hours 30 for the SARL news in both languages, and again at 10 hours Central African time for AR Today. And then a rebroadcast by Andy, ZS6 Alpha Delta Yankee of AR Today, can be heard on Monday evenings at 19 hours 30 Central African time on 3620 kHz. Signal reports, comments and suggestions are welcome. Please send these by email to artoday@sarl.org.za. And you've just listened to a long news bulletin written by Hannes Enslin, ZS6 Juliet Delta Echo, proofread by Dave Rees, ZS1 Delta Fox Romeo, and read by me, ZS1 Delta Foxtrot Romeo. From the news team, best wishes for the week ahead.
Thank you, Dave. We'll be back with you shortly, but first we cross to the United States for international news. Here is Newsline.
Reporting from Jonesboro, Arkansas, here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Our top story is about a de-expedition that is taking an extraordinary turn as 8 operators, all under the age of 25, prepare to lead the activation of Christmas Island later this year. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us about this announcement.
Young radio operators will be planning, leading, and operating the VK9XYD expedition in November and December of this year through a partnership between the Pacific Islands De-Expedition Group and Youth on the Air. Although young operators have been part of previous activations, including the 3D2Y remote from Rotuma and PJ6Y on the island of Saba, the Pacific Islands Group is calling this next operation a milestone. The lead operator will be Max Friedman, N4ML. Max and his team will have veteran de-expeditioners Greg Marco, W6IZT, and Glenn Johnson, W0GJ, as on-island advisors. Making the announcement on July 20, the team said the young operators will include Connor Black, W4IPC, Tyler Schroeder, NT1S, Lucas Bartkus, LY7J, and Urgent Giri, 7Q6UJ, and that many of them were part of the two previous de-expeditions. They will be on the air for about 18 days, starting around the 16th of November. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
In the U.S., the National Weather Service has its eye on the broadcasting spectrum as a possible avenue to ensure the delivery of weather alerts. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, brings us the details.
It's known as broadcast data casting, the distribution of data using digital television, and it's showing promise for the National Weather Service as an alternative means of getting the word out. According to a report on the TVtechnology.com website, the NWS is working with the broadcast data casting specialist, SpectraRep, to evaluate how the technology can provide a redundant pathway for delivering NOAA weather radio audio and other data during emergencies. The transmitted data would be undetected by viewers, according to the SpectraRep website. Broadcast data casting has been around for quite some time and originated with closed captioning that appears on many TV screens. Broadcast data casting is also in some European countries, although European TV employs different systems than those used in the U.S., such as digital video broadcasting and digital audio broadcasting. NOAA said that the research will help strengthen weather radio and broaden access to its information across the country. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
What's better than a late July party? How about a second party a few weeks later? These are meteor scatter parties, and you're invited, as Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us.
HAMSAI is looking for radio operators to be calling CQ on 10 and 6 meters using the digital mode MSK144, or simply to serve as passive monitors during two upcoming meteor showers. The first are the Southern Delta Aquarids between the 29th and 31st of July, followed by the Perseids between the 12th and the 14th of August. HAMSAI is hoping to receive data collected on 28.145 MHz and 50.260 MHz, especially any WAV files of decodes and operator contact logs from WSJTX. These are not the last of this year's parties, however. The final meteor scatter QSO party will be during the Geminids between the 13th and the 15th of December. for operating hours and other details about how to help generate propagation data during these events, which are also friendly competitions, visit the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
The state of Nevada is poised to become home to what's being called the world's most sensitive radio telescope. Travis Lisk, N3ILS, tells us what's planned.
Construction is about to begin for a radio telescope known as the Deep Synoptic Array, considered the most sensitive of its kind to date. The project is being led by Caltech, the California Institute of Technology, and is planned for the Nevada desert. According to the Caltech website, the telescope recently passed its final design review, allowing building to begin on what will ultimately be a collection of 1,650 radio dishes covering an area of 12 by 10 miles or 20 by 16 kilometers. Scientists expect the Deep Synoptic Array to have the ability to collect and identify more radio sources in any given day than any radio telescopes currently in operation. The researchers said they expect its initial survey to note nearly 1 billion objects emitting radio waves. Its special functions will include the study of pulsars, black holes, and fast radio bursts, and it raises hopes that it will detect other transient events that have gone undetected until now. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
In Vermont, the relationship between ham radio operators and an advocacy group for the disabled has a long history, and it has traveled a long road. How about more than 100 miles every year? Daniel Garcia, W2DIY, tells us about this enduring relationship.
Inside the communications trailer of the Twin State Radio Club, a handful of hams operated at several stations, always ready for the just-in-case moments that can happen when people run or ride horses along a long wooded trail in Vermont for 30 hours or more. As they have done for 34 years, the hams were supporting the Vermont 100, a fundraising challenge which drew 500 participants between the 18th and 20th of July. The runners and riders maxed out their endurance and determination in support of Vermont Adaptive Ski and Sports, which promotes accessible activities for athletes with visual and mobility impairments. The course had 10 aid stations and 4 horse holds, with amateurs present at each. Rob Mather, N1XSS, communications lead for the event, told Newsline that the course was well covered by amateur radio thanks to the Connecticut Valley FM Association's 2-meter repeater high atop Mount Ascutney. Several hams are also part of the Green Mountain Bike Patrol, which also provides medical support along the course. The trailer was equipped with public service radios as well that could contact the regional dispatch center in an emergency. Rob told Newsline, "This isn't the end of the successful run, not for the team of 60 hams or the participants out on the trail." He said, quote, "We do it all over again in September for the Vermont 50, end quote. That's another fundraiser. If you wish to be a part of the action, contact Rob via his email at n1xss@mather1.com. His email address also appears in the text version of this week's script at arnewsline.org. This is Daniel Garcia, W2DIY.
Operated on 12 meters yet? Have you even thought of trying it? Well, meet a ham who is actually challenging you to do so. We hear more about him from Dave Lee, M9TLB.
12 meters is typically not known as the most popular band for most operators, and so Ian, EI3LH, is posing a challenge that is rooting for this presumed underdog of bands. He has launched an activity known as Midnight Runners. It's a challenge to operators to use CW or SSB only to complete 12 contacts on the band during a single operating session, a field activity such as a POTA, SOTA, lighthouses or beaches on the air. Likewise, chasers at home can qualify to be midnight runners by logging their own dozen contacts with the portable stations. Sorry, but there are no grand prizes. Those who succeed in the mission do get a reason to feel grand anyway. They receive a membership certificate declaring them one of the proud midnight runners. And right now, there aren't many. Ian writes in his blog that this activity is his way of raising the profile of the 12-meter band, which he believes is often forgotten among CW and sideband operators. He said that the concept was born as a result of a discussion about 12 meters that took place on the SOTA reflector. If you complete your 12-on-12, be sure to let Ian know by contacting him at midnight@ei3h.eu and send a text list of your QSOs with all the details. Since this is a new venture, who knows? You may end up getting membership number 12, as well as a virtual pat on the back from Ian. This is Dave Lee, M9TLB.
You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZSXSR. We're going back to Cape Town to Dave Rees for the weekly Hamnet report. Take it, Dave.
For your sins, you've got me again, and I want to tell you that GDAX is reporting that tropical cyclone Bertha, moving directly east to west, is threatening the states of the US bordering on the Gulf of Mexico with wind speeds of up to 100 kilometers per hour. At the time of writing, Bertha had not crossed the coast of the states. GDAX is also referring to a tropical cyclone Noel with maximum wind speeds of 150 kilometers per hour, active in the northwest Pacific and threatening China so far. At least 7.5 million people are in the path of 120 kilometer per hour winds or higher. The death toll from the double earthquakes that struck Venezuela nearly a month ago has reached 5,346, according to the latest official tally on Tuesday. The 7.2 and 7.5 magnitude quakes on June the 24th hit the north of the country hardest, especially the coastal state of La Guayra, outside the capital Caracas. National Assembly President Jorge Rodriguez said on Telegram the death toll was at least 5,346, which was an increase of 68 from the day before, while the number of people injured remained at 16,740. The government has not given a figure for those still missing under mountains of rubble, but the UN estimates that as many as 50,000 people may still be unaccounted for. There have been 1,405 aftershocks recorded in the month since the earthquakes. Now, Keith Lowe's ZS5 Whiskey Fox Delta, who's Divisional Director for Hamnet in KZN, has sent me a nice report about a cycle race last Sunday. He writes, 8 SARL Hamnet-KZN members were deployed to provide emergency communications via amateur radio for the three events that comprise the Umashava National Classic Cycle Tour. Keith Lowe's was situated at the Durban Jock at Etiquette Municipal Disaster Management Centre, and Willem's ZS5 Whiskey Alpha at the Peter Maritzburg Jock at the fire station. This is the 40th year of the 106-kilometre National Classic Race. The 132-kilometre event from the Nelson Mandela Capture Site in Howick did not take place this year. The use of the Disaster Management Jock allowed the projection of the city's CCTV live feed onto the video wall. This enabled race and emergency service officials to intervene the moment a problem was encountered on the parts of the route that had CCTV coverage. Keith made use of a Yaesu FT8800 in crossband repeat mode to operate 433.550 simplex from the Disaster Management Centre. Communications were via the Midlands ARC 145.750 repeater, as well as the Highway Amateur Radio Club 145.7625 repeaters. And although not ideal, making use of the Zello Hamnet Emergency KZN channel gave surprisingly good coverage between Durban and Peter Maritzburg's jocks. Umesh from Radio Source Telecoms offered Hamnet KZN the loan of 4 iTalk push-to-talk radios for test or evaluation. Their digital audio gave very clear reception along the entire route. The three events were a 106-kilometre race starting outside the Peter Maritzburg City Hall at 7 hours 30, a 70-kilometre race starting from Camperdown Spa at 6 hours 30, and a 40-kilometre fun ride starting from West Town Square Shopping Centre at Chungweni at 6 hours 15. 3,332 cyclists entered, of which 2,082 started the 106-kilometre main race, and 69 of these were riding e-bikes and 17 were tandems. 398 entered the 70-kilometre race, of which 37 were e-bikes, and the 40-kilometre fun ride was not timed. Once again, the earlier July date, as opposed to the traditional date in October, brought cool but dry weather, and as it was taking place during school holidays, it provided a bonus for those entrants travelling from farther afield. 5 water points were covered by Hamnet members, namely Craig, ZS5 Charlie Delta, Terry, ZS5 Tango Bravo. Bernard, ZS5 Bravo Whiskey Yankee. Sean, ZS5 Sierra Mike. And Wayne, ZS5 Whiskey Alpha Yankee. In addition, we also provided a roving patrol designated Rover 1, crewed by Dave, ZS5 Charlie Golf, who had the necessary permits allowing full route access. Dave started from Pietermaritzburg following the main 106-kilometre event. He was available to provide information to the jock on coming across an incident, such that the relevant action could be taken by the race organiser and emergency services dispatched accordingly. I am pleased, says Keith, to report that only minor medical cases were reported on, and the problem of unauthorised vehicles on the route encountered last year did not materialise this time around. The Pietermaritzburg jock closed down at 10 hours once the race left the Mzunduzi municipal area, and the Durban jock ceased activities at 16 hours. The race organisers and I wish to place on record our sincere thanks to the Hamnet KZN team that assisted on the day to ensure competitor safety and the smooth running of the event. And thank you, Keith, for your report, which I took the liberty of shortening slightly. Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu, our Hamnet National Director, has sent me some news of upcoming events Hamnet will be involved with in Division 6. The first is the Rover Moot, which is a kind of jamboree for scouts who are too old to be called scouts anymore. They are referred to as rovers. And the East Rand Radio Club will be assisted by Hamnet at Arrow Park between the 1st and the 8th of August. Hamnet will be responsible for providing overall camp communications and also be demonstrating digital modes like VAR-AC. There will be other radio-related activities being provided under the guidance of the East Rand Club. Next comes the Empower Her event on the 10th of August, which is a charity family fun run or walk and being held at the Brakpan Aero Club, that's FABB, where, apart from the 5-kilometre fun run or walk around the airfield, there will be aeroplanes and helicopters, great food and refreshments, giveaways and community spirit. There are also raffle tickets on sale to raise funds, and the prize is a flip in a beautifully restored Alouette helicopter. Hamnet will be responsible for securing the taxiways and the runways. There are more events in October, which I'll mention closer to the time, as well as a national blackout emergency exercise on an unannounced date later in the year. So be on the lookout for that latter event, and in the meantime, try to get a go kit organised for yourself. Finally, there's a quick report of a rescue about 7 nautical miles off Mouly Point in Cape Town on Thursday night, of a Greek seafarer who fell overboard from a bulk carrier in unknown circumstances. The man was said to be clinging to a life ring and rope, and the crew had been unable to pull him back on board. A port supply vessel was also unable to recover him from the water. A fishing vessel in the area changed course and managed to get the man on board their little boat before heading for the harbour, all the while rewarming him in his hypothermic and semi-conscious state. An NSRI rescue vessel caught up with the fishing boat and the rescue swimmers boarded it and continued the resuscitation, but decided not to transfer him to their craft in his serious condition. And once in Table Bay, he was stabilised and transported by ambulance to hospital. The NSRI commended the Good Samaritans on board the fishing vessel for their rapid action, undoubtedly saving the man's life. The reason why I tell you this story is that the rescue vessel has a very comical name, the sort of name that hopefully will go down in maritime rescue history. Its name? MacDuck. And this is Dave Reese, ZS1 Delta Foxtrot Romeo, bringing you some quacking good stories this week and reporting for Hamnet in South Africa.
I guess we can call this the quack quack story from Cape Town. Well, we're coming back to Joburg, but now let's rather go to Durban, and there we'll find Dave Long, ZS5FR, and he is going to talk to us about MZSA and all its activities. Dave?
NASA's New Horizons spacecraft awakens from record hibernation. NASA's New Horizons spacecraft has awakened from its longest hibernation period ever and resumed active operations as it continues its pioneering exploration of the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. Flight controllers confirmed on June the 23rd that the spacecraft has safely emerged from a 321-day hibernation that began in August the 7th, 2025. Now, approximately 9.5 billion kilometers from Earth, New Horizons remains healthy and is preparing to return stored science data collecting during the dormant period. The spacecraft continues to operate far beyond Pluto as one of humanity's most distant active planetary science missions. The successful wake-up demonstrates the remarkable reliability of autonomous spacecraft operations across the vast distances of the outer solar system. Commands directing a spacecraft to awaken were uploaded nearly a year earlier, before New Horizons entered hibernation. Because radio signals now require approximately 8 hours and 52 minutes to travel one way between Earth and the spacecraft, confirmation of the wake-up reached mission controllers through NASA's Deep Space Network station near Madrid, Spain, nearly 9 hours after it was transmitted. Such long communication delays require the spacecraft to perform routine operations independently while awaiting instructions from Earth. Mission teams periodically place New Horizons into hibernation during extended cruise phases to conserve onboard resources and reduce operational demands while continuing valuable scientific observations. During hibernation, operators do not send routine commands to retrieve stored data, but the spacecraft continues collecting measurements using several science instruments. Throughout the 321-day hibernation period, New Horizons transmitted a weekly health status beacon indicating that all systems were functioning normally. According to Mission Operations Manager Alice Bowman, every weekly status report received during this hibernation period was green, confirming the spacecraft remained in excellent health. Launched in January 2006, New Horizons became the fastest spacecraft ever launched at the time and completed a gravity assist flyby of Jupiter in 2007 before making humanity's first close exploration of Pluto in July of 2015. The spacecraft later performed the first flyby of the Kuiper Belt object, Arakoeth, on January 1, 2019, and has continued studying the Kuiper Belt, the outer heliosphere, and the space environment beyond the planets. More than two decades after launch, New Horizon continues expanding our understanding of the outer solar system while demonstrating the remarkable capabilities of long-duration deep space communications and autonomous spacecraft operations. Now onto some satellite shorts from all over. A new satellite tracking application for iPhone and iPad, OrMySat, is now available for amateur radio operators and satellite enthusiasts. The app combines live satellite tracking with past predictions, antenna alignment tools, and customizable alerts to assist operators in the field. It includes a 3D globe, a 2D map, and augmented reality viewing modes, along with a catalog of more than 34,000 satellites, rocket bodies, and debris objects. According to the developer, orbital data is updated every 6 hours using recognized space status resources, and additional features including Doppler correction, satellite frequency information, and launch tracking. A free version is available with an optional premium subscription offering expandable capabilities such as extended prediction windows and data export. Additional information is available at one word, allmysat.com, and the application can be downloaded from the Apple's App Store. Now to some passes for today, Sunday the 26th of July, and all times in Central African time. The International Space Station 2331 to 2342, SO50 or SAUDISAT 1C 1719 to 1731, and CHAPISASAT 1431 to 1443. Bearing in mind these are the best passes for the day and not the only ones. This is ZS5FR for AMSAT SA.
Thank you, Dave. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZS6 SRL. I'll be back here in Pretoria. And Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu, is standing by. And with his regular, The World Above 30 MHz. And always something interesting there.
ZS6 SRC 37 has been on a remarkable journey so far. it started off making its way to northern Madagascar, then west to the eastern border of the DRC, before turning east and continuing on its journey around the southern hemisphere. It has already completed 2 circumnavigations and is well on its way to completing its 3rd navigation, which may be early this coming week. It crossed the east coast of Brazil on Saturday and is currently over the western Atlantic. ZSX SRC-84, which is one of the Mauritian balloons, has slowed down considerably since being in the equatorial regions, and has finally crossed over South America, and is in the mid-Atlantic, oscillating between the northern and southern hemispheres. As of Saturday, it was again heading in a northeasterly direction towards the equator. ZSX SRC-85, also a Mauritian balloon, suddenly went silent after its last transmission on 18 July 2026. Lastly, ZS6 Zulu Uniform 11, also a Mauritian balloon, launched around the same time as ZS6 SRC-85, and following a similar path, progressed northeasterly across Australia, and was last heard on 20 July 2026, northeast of Rurutu, the northernmost island in the Austral archipelago of French Polynesia. What is really interesting and a mystery is that both ZS6 SRC-85 and ZS6 Lima Uniform 11 were launched within hours of each other, followed the same path, and from the telemetry data available, were both in good health, and then just not heard again. One can speculate, but there is no clear reason for them to just literally disappear off the radar. Regardless, it was a great feat, and thank you to all the amateurs who have been building and launching these pico balloons. They certainly have created a great following. I will admit that I eagerly await the first reports placed on the WhatsApp group every day. Today we will talk about 2 VHF propagation modes that make use of the E-layer in the ionosphere. Sporadic E-propagation, also referred to as ES, and trans-equatorial propagation, also known as TEP. Sporadic E-propagation can produce the strongest signals on 50 MHz, or even weaker signals as high as 144 MHz, or as far down as 27 MHz. It produces a skip distance around 600 km on 50 MHz and about 900 km on 144 MHz, and could cover about 2,500 km on a single hop. Under certain conditions, double hop sporadic E becomes possible, and the range can be extended considerably. Sporadic E propagation is unpredictable, and its cause has puzzled scientists for a long time. Small ES clouds can appear in the E layer at a height of 90 to 120 km in circular or irregular form, and when tilted can extend the range of a single hop. Even low power on 50 MHz can cover some long distances. It usually starts off with a fluttery weak signal that could increase to a strength of S9 within minutes. The mid-latitude sporadic E season usually occurs during a number of days in December and January, and could last from a few minutes up to several hours. Sporadic E clouds may form quickly and slowly move westward. Scientists have focused on the ion content caused by burnt-out meteors in the E layer of the ionosphere. They have also paid attention to the high-velocity winds that could cause wind shear in the E layer. These 2 factors could be responsible for the dense patchy regions of the E layer ionization. Then there are also the almost daily sporadic E openings that occur around noon for an hour or two during the ES season. The FM sound channels around 53.750 MHz have been copied at full limit in Port Elizabeth, emanating from the old Band 3 TV stations in Gweru and Kabwe, and as far north as the Congo. In 1947, a previously unknown long-distance propagation of 50 MHz signals was discovered when X-ray Echo 1 Kilo Echo in Mexico started communicating with Argentinian stations in the afternoon and evening hours. At that time, Argentinian stations began making contact with South American stations in the north on a regular basis. Radio experts eventually discovered that it is a type of F2 propagation that manifests equidistant across the magnetic dip equator. In 1958, Ray Cracknell, Zulu Echo 2 Juliet Victor in Salisbury, as Harare was known at the time, and Zulu Charlie 4 India Papa and Zulu Charlie 4 Whiskey Romeo on Cyprus heard each other on 50 MHz DEP. They took up the challenge and started an in-depth amateur science project. Later, Zulu Echo 2 Juliet Victor was joined by ZS6 Papa Whiskey, Fred Anderson at the CSIR in Pretoria, and Sierra Victor 1 Delta Hotel, Kostas Fimoleris in Athens to expand the research. During the peak of the solar cycle, many VHF amateurs in the northern parts of South Africa worked almost daily long-distance DEP stations in the Mediterranean, but it rarely opened far south. Unfortunately, we have to wait a long time before we are going to work trans-equatorial propagation again. Next week, we will talk a little more about the E-layer. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands, or about that project that you are working on in the VHF and above bands? Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio or video clips to bjacobseda@gmail.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us, allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements, and the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 MHz.
Thank you, Brian. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZS6 SRL. And to end our program today, here is Dennis Green with the weekly HF report.
Good morning, and yes, I do sound like I've got a frog in the throat, and hopefully it'll pass away. We're firstly going to Christmas Island this morning. The Pacific Islands, the Expedition Group, and Youth on the Air have announced the Victor Kilo 9 X-ray Yankee. The expedition to Christmas Island, Iota Oceana 002, running from 16 November to 4 December. Young operators have expanded their roles in recent years, advancing from remote operations on Rotuma 3 Delta 2 Yankee to on-island team participation on Saba Papa Juliet 6 Yankee, and will now take full charge of the planning, leading and operating the Victor Kilo 9 X-ray Yankee the expedition. The 8-person on-island crew will consist entirely of operators under the age of 25. Confirmed team members include November 4 Mike Lima, Whiskey 4 India Papa Charlie, November Tango 1 Sierra, Lima Yankee 7 Juliet, and 7 Quebec 6 Uniform Juliet, with the final roster spots set to be filled in the coming weeks. Veteran the expeditioners Whiskey 0 Golf Juliet and Whiskey 6 India Zulu Tango will provide on-site guidance and mentorship. The station plan calls for 4 local stations, 2 remote next-generation RIB2 stations operated over Starlink, I hope they got a license, and a portable Quebec Oscar 100 satellite station. Activity will be on 166 meters and will include participation in the CQ Worldwide DXCW contest. QSL is via Mike Oscar. I say again, Mike Zero, Oscar Extra, Oscar's OTRS, and fundraising efforts are underway to cover expenses for the young operators. For detailed information, you can visit https://VictorKilo9XRayYankee2026.com. Then to Korea. Celebrating the 81st anniversary of the liberation of Korea on 15 August 1945, members of the Korean Amateur Radio League's Chunbok HQ will be active as Hotel Lima 81 Victor between 1 and 31 August with QSL via the operator's instructions. Then to Franz Josef Land. Due to unforeseen circumstances, the Romeo India 1 Foxtrot Juliet Lima de-exhibition schedule has changed. The team is now set to depart from Murmansk on 7 August with an expected arrival on Heise Island, Europe 019 Franz Josef Land on 15 August. Plans are for 6 operators to be active on 160 to 10 meters using CW, SSBN Digital with at least 5 high-powered stations for 15 days. QSL is via Clublogs OQRS, and for all information, pay a visit to www.RomeoUniformDeltaXRayTango.org/Romeo India 1 Foxtrot Juliet Lima. Russia. After a rough sea passage, the Arctic Legend IOTA exhibition team hit the airways from Novaya Zemlya, IOTA Europe 035 as Romeo Tango 25 Alpha Alpha on 21 July. In just 21 hours, they logged nearly 5,000 QSOs split evenly between CW and digital. QSL is via Clublogs OQRS or via Romeo 7 Alpha Alpha. Their next stop is Viz Island, Asia 055, where they will be active as Romeo India 0 Bravo Whiskey. And you can track their progress on https://share.garmin.com/UniformAlpha9KiloDeltaFox. Uzbekistan. Derek, Sierra Papa 9 Delta Lima Mike, and his 13-year-old son Greg, Sierra November 9 Golf Mike, will be active as Uniform Kilo Stroke Sierra Papa 9 Delta Lima Mike and Uniform Kilo Stroke Sierra November 9 Golf Mike from Uzbekistan between 27 July and 15 August. For all the information, pay a visit to QRZ.com for Sierra Papa 9 Delta Lima Mike and QSL is via Clublogs OQRS. Then to Corsica. The Tango Kilo 5 Sierra India operation from the Sanguinaras Islands, Europe 104, has been postponed to 27 and 28 July. It would have been this weekend. Tony, Foxtrot 5, Romeo Alpha, Bravo, and Gil, Foxtrot 4, Foxtrot Echo, Tango will operate SSB, CW, and Digital on 20, 17, 15, 10, and 6 meters. They are not allowed to overnight on the island, so this will be a daytime battery-operated micro-expedition with activity probably between 07 and 16:30 UTC each day. QSL is via Clublogs OQRS preferred, Logbooked World, or then via Foxtrot 8 Golf Golf Victor. And our last stop is in Wales. Golf Bravo 64 Mike Oscar Delta, a special event station that celebrates the spirit of the MOD movement through amateur radio, will be active between 1 and 31 August, operated by Curtis, Mike Whiskey 0, Uniform Sierra Kilo, and Kevin, Mike Whiskey 9, Kilo Juliet Charlie. And for more information, visit https://GolfBravo64MikeOscarDelta.CharlieOscar.UniformKilo. And that's all this week. Yes, from Dennis, ZS4 Bravo Sierra for Amateur Radio Today.
Well, frogging away is Dennis Green. I hope you feel better, Dennis. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today, or you have been listening to Amateur Radio Today. I'd like to remind you about the MSAT SA Space Symposium. There's some really exciting new ideas and new papers and subjects we haven't spoken about for some time. So join us next Saturday, Saturday the 1st of August. Full details on www.mzsa.org.za. It runs from about 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And, as I said, go to the website www.mzsa.org.za. Registration is free of charge, so join us next Saturday. Well, thanks to all our contributors today and all those who did our relays. Thanks to you, our listeners. And join us again next Saturday at the symposium and next Sunday for another edition of Amateur Radio Today. Until then, 73, have a great week ahead.